We are very happy to be able to celebrate that Jesus is risen, that He is alive. He's alive in these children's lives. He's alive in His church all over the world. I was thinking this morning as Shane was leading us in our communion meditation this morning, I was thinking about his statement about remembrance. And I know remembering is not always easy for us. Sometimes we can get some of the details mixed up. I was just glad that Shane didn't call me out in that story. He hit Jack instead. Sorry, Jack. But I do remember very well the table, the communion table. And let me just quick pew survey real quick. How many do you remember the table that said, "Do this in remembrance of me"? So most of us, right? Something really cool. I'm going to say something good about Jack right now. Something really cool is this past November, Jack took me to prison. So thank you for that, Jack. No. Jack took me with him to get to see some of the prisoners that he teaches, that he works with. And it was a special night. It was a special night because it was a worship. And it was also a night where they were able to bring in a portable baptistry. And I don't know how many of y'all have been out to this particular prison unit that we were at to be able to see this, but whoever made this baptistry, they had converted an old church communion table. And so we were watching this scene of over 30 men who were lined up, who were all preparing themselves, and then one by one, they stepped into this baptistry that was converted from an old communion table, and each of them stepped in, and there across the front, as you're seeing this, is "Do this in remembrance of me." It really blessed me. It really did, to be able to see that. I'm so thankful that you're here. I hope that we'll remember these times. Your life. Your life is that living offering of worship, that living offering to God, as Shane was saying, to do this in remembrance of Christ, His cross, His resurrection. Okay, I want to switch gears for just a moment to set us up for our conversation and our crossroad this morning. We are talking about letting go of fear. I want you to take just a brief moment to talk to somebody nearby to you of one fear that you have. It can be anything, of one fear. Take just a moment and share with somebody and listen to someone else share one of their fears, one fear that you have right now. Good to hear y'all sharing this morning. All right, just real quickly to bring us back. Anyone have a fear of clowns? I heard that. Fear of clowns. Fear of the dark. I mean, that's still, even when we get older, there needs to be a flashlight handy, right? Some of our fears can be a little bit more real. We'll talk about some of those as we go along this morning. I do want to tell a little bit of how many of you are fear of snakes? Fear of snakes, okay. A lot of that one's pretty popular. Those of you who are afraid of snakes need to go visit Robert Kern's little piece of land that he's got. See his wall of how many snakes they've killed out there. We had an encounter this past week. We went down and we stayed at my sister's house. Those of you who are aware, we had a death in the family, and we went back home and had a burial of my mother-in-law this past week. But we did stay at my sister's house, and my sister and my parents live out in the country. Some people have called it the sticks. It is one of those roads that absolutely leads. It's a dead-end road that really goes nowhere, and you're isolated and all of those kinds of things. And they live where if the creek rises, you will not see them, right? Now, they actually live on one of those roads. So they're kind of out in God's country a bit, and we were staying out there. And when we go down there too, there is no cell signal. It is like traveling back in time. a little bit. Maybe, did anybody have fear of no cell signal? You know, maybe that's that could be a real thing. We were all gathered together. I have three nieces. So my sister and my brother-in-law have all girls. Our daughter was with us, and then all of the kids, all of us were together. And this was Monday morning, I think. And we were kind of all waking up and kind of having conversation together, a little bit of breakfast. And it was really beautiful morning. Sun was shining through the window. And then somebody said, "Is that a snake?" And pointed at the window, and there in the window was a snake, I kid you not, that had crawled up to the window and was looking in directly at each one of us. Almost like he had a personal greeting for each one. He just kind of looked in and found us. So it caused, as you could imagine, it caused quite a stir in the household. And what was even worse was whenever we went outside, when the mighty men went outside to try to, we did not find it. So, watch out, okay? It's interesting how much fear controls our lives. In fact, I don't know, and I don't know how many of our decisions are shaped and determined by our fears. Fear is a powerful, powerful force in the world. Today and for all of human history. When we talk about the cross, when you talk about crucifixion, the Roman crucifixion, it was a symbol that reminded everyone that they needed to fear the emperor and the empire of Rome. It was a visible sign of Rome's power and their ability to be able to control and crush their enemies or anyone who would be out of order and out of line with the empire. And so it was a remarkable, useful tool of power by fear. We have a record of so many. The tool of crucifixion was a powerful tool in Jesus' time. A powerful sign of Rome at its peak power and peak height. And it worked. It worked for a very, very long time. The reality is that fear, it takes on different shapes. We don't have that kind of criminal punishment anymore of that degree, or at least of that type. But we've had other things throughout history that had the same purpose of being a visible sign and a visible marker to be able to strike fear in those who would go against those in power. When Jesus dies on the cross, though, something dramatically different happens to the cross. That's why for us, we look at it differently now than it did throughout its inception. And it takes on a very different meaning for us. But when we walk back into the life and into the world immediately during and in the days even just after Jesus is crucified, its power for fear was very much still the reality that was working in the world and in the disciples' lives. When we read in John chapter 20, what happened to those guys who had been spending their lives night and day living and traveling and being with Jesus, witnessing Jesus' power and miracles and casting out demons and all of those different things. And when we come to John chapter 20, where are the disciples who had seen the power of God exhibited through the hands of Jesus? John 20 and verse 19 says that on the first day of the week in the evening, the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear. For fear of the Jewish leaders. Their master has been killed. Their master opposed the empire. Their master was seen as a rebel and as a heretic amongst his own people, and so he was crucified. And they were right to be afraid. They were right. It was natural for them to feel the way that they did and to feel the need to hide themselves and isolate themselves and to lock their doors for fear. But something incredible, something impossible happens. And we know the story, but listen to it and try to walk in it as if this is new for us. Here they are at the peak and height of their fear weighing over them. The shadow of Jesus' death, their beloved, hanging on them, and the unknown future for each of their lives. What's next? What's going to happen to them? People find out that they were with Him. They were His followers. And Jesus appears in the room. And He's there with them. And He stands among them. And He says, "Peace be with you." And as if that wasn't enough, Jesus moves from speaking this word of peace to the fearful disciples that are there behind the locked doors to then revealing Himself to them by showing His hands and His side. And you'll notice in the text there, it's at that moment. It's at that moment when their fear changes to joy, because then they're able to see Jesus for who He is. This is really an astounding thing about the witness of the cross and the witness of our Savior Jesus Christ. We truly behold Him through the wounds. We mentioned this last week whenever we spent just a little time looking at that text in Mark, whenever the soldier is standing at the foot of the cross, and it's there at the foot of the cross that the Bible tells us, Mark tells us, when he saw how he died, he proclaimed, "Surely this is the Son of God." It's through His woundedness, it's through His pierced hands and sides that we're able to recognize Jesus for who He truly is. And when the disciples see His hands and His side, their fear changes to joy. It's Jesus. It's their Lord. It's their beloved. And He's not dead. He's not in the grave anymore. He's very much alive. He has risen from the dead here. And He's risen with the marks to prove that He has shared in the suffering and pain of all people. And yet, He lives. And He speaks to them again, now that they can recognize who He is, and says, "Peace be with you." The theme of peace is very strong in Israel. The word that is used, the Hebrew word, and you've heard it before as well. You may not know very many Hebrew words, but you're familiar with this word for peace, and it's shalom. Everybody say shalom. Shalom. It's a great word. And it's not just like a token saying like, well, peace or something like that. It's a New World Order kind of shift. It's a new paradigm that God's peace. What God is bringing about, God's shalom, is making things right that are wrong in the world. And when Jesus comes amongst them and reveals Himself to these fearful disciples who've isolated themselves and who are hiding because of fear and who've locked the doors, Jesus comes to them and speaks peace and shows them what He has done to be able to say that this shalom has come, that has been promised. In His farewell address in John 14 and verse 27, Jesus had told the disciples before the cross, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives you, I give you My peace." And now they are able to witness it here. The peace of knowing that God is victorious. The peace of knowing that when you think about those different things that cause us anxiety and those different things that weigh us down and really they just kind of have a stranglehold on our lives, the things that we're fearful about, fears of the unknown, fears of failures, fears of weakness. You can name all of those things. And Jesus displays all of those things on the cross. Fear of dying, Jesus dies on the cross. Fear of loneliness, everyone left Him. Isolation. Fear of weakness, He breathes, He's barely hanging on there. Fear of humiliation. Fear of being mistreated. Fear of being abandoned. You know, we can go through all of those things. And Jesus takes every single one and nails it to the cross. And the risen Savior rises with the wounds as a testimony to that victory. If I was to sit with you for a little while and we really talked about our fears for a moment, it might cause you, if we really delve there, it might cause you, it becomes hard to breathe. They take our breath away sometimes, fears do. And as Jesus comes amongst them and reveals this impossible miracle of what God has done and how He has triumphed over the cross, He speaks the word of peace to the disciples. And then the Bible tells us in that same moment, He breathes into them, He breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father sent Me, so I am sending you." And He commissions them here with the task of forgiveness. I don't know about you, but there's something about this scene that I love in some ways even more than the empty tomb scene. I love the story of the empty tomb, and I love the testament that it gives about God's victory over death. But there's something about this portrait that John gives us that I enjoy so much because it really does speak to me. And I got to tell you, in recent days, Hillcrest, our family has had a lot of losses. I'm not just our family has had loss. We've had several. You look in your handout and in our bulletin, and you see the names of those who are on our prayer list. You see the names of those who've had death and loss recently. Those who are just trying to hang in there with life right now. And then you come to this text, and it feels like Jesus has walked in the room as you read this, and He's talking to you personally, doesn't it? What I mean is that for me right now, I can hear Jesus speaking to me and saying, "Nathan, peace." And I can feel Him easing my anxiety as He breathes into my life. And I experience His presence through His Spirit. It has echoes of great scenes in Scripture, echoes of creation when God breathes the breath of life into Adam's nostrils and he comes alive in Genesis 2 and verse 7. It has echoes of that great scene of the prophet Ezekiel. You remember the valley of the dry bones and God shows this valley to Ezekiel and he sees how there's no life of any kind in these dead bones, in these dead bodies, and then he starts to speak to them. And some of you might know the song, right? Them bones, them dry bones. But here's that scene. And he creates wholeness. But this moment comes there in Ezekiel 37 and verse 9 when God says that there was no life in them. There was no breath in them, even though the bodies were created there. And God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Speak to it. In my name, give them breath. Here. And he speaks to the breath. And those who were slain come to life. And the Bible tells us there, and there before Ezekiel stood this living, vast people, army, host of God's children who were dead. But God breathed new life into them. John is telling the story of the cross here. He is telling the story of the resurrection, but he's also speaking to a church and to people who feel beaten. And even though they're on the winning side of the cross, they still feel death. They still feel loss. They still feel failure and temptation. And so you have this generation of the church who still has doubts and questions. Are they going to be able to survive? Are they going to be able to live into this reality of life eternal that Christ has brought about? And so John gives them this reminder of a most important part of the story, that we have a God who not only raised Jesus from the dead, but raises His people back to life again and again and again. Do you hear that, church? Do you see that here? Jesus is breathing new life into His people through His Spirit. And the peace that we may read about and the peace that we may hear spoken about becomes actualized, a reality when God comes to dwell amongst His people in a powerful way, so that our fears start to disappear. We've been talking this whole month about attachments that we have in our lives that we have to let go of in order to follow Jesus, to take up our cross and follow Jesus. And the more I've thought about this, the more I think that the things that we're hung up on, the things that we keep a tight grip to, really underneath them, whether it's, you know, I want success, or I want to have a good reputation, or I want to be liked, or you name those different identities that we have, you know, possessions and those things, the things that we cling to. I think underneath them are some underlying fears that we have not let go of to fully trust and embrace the truth and the reality of a resurrected King and a resurrected Savior who is living in His people today. I fear loneliness, and so we get involved in relationships that are unhealthy for our lives. We make poor decisions about associations, the way we treat others, the way we treat ourselves. We compromise our faith. I fear failure, so I put all of my time and my energy into work, into success, to the neglect of my family and and of my church and of my calling to the Lord. Underneath these things that we hold on to so much is a need for us to let go of those fears that Jesus has already said, it's finished. Peace be with you. I want to tell you, as a closing note here, a happier animal story than the snake encounter that we had this week. I have a picture here of a very tiny puppy. My parents breed these dogs. I'll give you their website after church here. That's really just a plug for their... They've been breeding dogs for a couple of years now, and this is by far the smallest puppy they've ever had. Her name is Hope. When Hope was born, she weighed 3 ounces, and she was not breathing. And my mom picked her up, and apparently this is a technique, and she held this tiny, tiny little puppy, and she swayed it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until suddenly breath came back in. And this little puppy, little Hope, started breathing. And with a lot of energy given, she was able to nurture her to health. And this is her at 6 weeks. This is last week. And Heather and I, you know, puppies and babies and these things, they are reminders of life. And as we were grieving loss, getting to play with that puppy, and she was resting in this scene because she had been bouncing and jumping and trying to bite our fingers off and that kind of thing. I thought, how appropriate is the story of this little puppy who wasn't breathing? And I think about the way that God is able to take a life, hold them in His arms, and move them. Breathe life into them. You don't have to be afraid. I mean that. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever is the lowest low that you may be feeling right now, I want you to imagine if Jesus walked into this room as He did in the text that we looked at, and stood amongst us, and He came to your seat. What is it that Jesus would be speaking to you about and say, you don't have to be afraid of anymore? And I can see Jesus putting His hand on you and breathing over you, saying, peace. 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 Look at my hands. See my side. I promise you everything's going to be okay. Just trust me. Trust me. Let's pray together. Father God, we hear Your word this morning. We're mindful, Lord, of our many fears. We're mindful of the way that fear can control our lives, the way that it can often cause us to move away from You and move away from kindness and caring and compassion. God, help us to take steps in our hearts and in our lives this morning to see Jesus' hands, to see His side, and to let go of those fears that we have in our lives because we see You as the victor. We see that the cross has created peace for our lives. God, I pray especially for those who may feel very distant from You this morning, that they can start that journey to turn to You and know You, that they can seek You through this family here, that we would help them, Father, that we would be a strength to each other, to breathe life, to let Your Spirit lead us and be upon us and amongst us, that we experience Your peace that passes understanding. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are two powers that were in play in the cross story. One was what the crucifixion stood for. The cross stood for the power of fear and its ability to control lives. But Jesus took the cross and He took our sins and He created a new narrative. And it was no longer the power of fear that is displayed when we see Jesus on the cross. We see the power of love and forgiveness. And the final words from the text that we have this morning, whenever Jesus breathes life into His disciples and calls them to receive His Spirit, is this calling to forgiveness, the task and responsibility, this commission here that He gives to the disciples to practice forgiveness. No longer does fear rule our lives, but we are led to walk and live and breathe in the practice of Christ's love and forgiveness. Maybe that's what you're needing to receive in your life today. You heard me share the story in the beginning, that beautiful scene of getting to witness this past fall of men of all kinds of different backgrounds, criminals who came and surrendered their life to Jesus and had their sins washed away in baptism. It starts with a step, and maybe you're needing to make that step in your life today. Or Christian, brother, sister, if you're here this morning, you have questions, you have struggles that are on your life, if you have fears that are weighing over you, don't leave today without going to someone and starting that journey, that crossroad to faith and trust and peace in Jesus Christ. If you have needs, we're going to have some shepherds that will be up here at this time and a few in the back. Let's stand together and let's sing.